So last week we started a series talking about money, and we said that two of the ways to look at money is a tool that we have to use, and it's also a test that we have. Last week we looked at God owns it all. Everything that we have, we don't really have. God owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills. Everything that we have comes from God. Everything belongs to God. We looked at we need to have a stewardship mindset. The things that we have do not belong to us. They belong to God. So we need to see ourselves as stewards that He has entrusted us with to use those things. So this evening, we're going to look at some stewardship principles. I have a lot of verses tonight, so on a lot of the slides, I'm going to have the subtitle, the subject, and then just list the verse, and I'll go through and read those. We're going to start in Luke 16 in just a minute, and again, one of the key points we're going to get out of these lessons on money. Luke 16:11, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So that is how money is used as a test. How we handle money is going to determine how we are able to handle the greater spiritual things. But before we get into that, the Bible is full of principles about money. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. That's the wisdom of being content with our daily bread. Proverbs 30, beginning at verse 7. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord, or lest I be poor and still, and profane the name of God. So again, we shouldn't want to have too much or too little. Just give us what we need for each day. Ecclesiastes 5:15, and as he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and he shall take nothing from his labor which he may carry away in his hand. So again, we are not going to take anything that we have worked from this life. So in Luke chapter 16, let's read through this parable again. Luke 16, beginning at verse 1, he said to his disciples, there is a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be a steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. He's not exactly approving of what he's did, but the master is saying the people of the world have more ability to think for solutions to things and come up with something than you do. The master commended, he dealt shrewdly. The sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than sons of light. We have the light, we have the wisdom, we have the knowledge, and we waste it. In verse 9, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. How many times do you hear somebody say, oh, if I had a whole lot, I could do so much? You couldn't if you aren't doing anything with what you have right now. What we have right now is a testing ground for more. Verse 11, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? If we have not been faithful with another man's, with God's things that he gives us, what are we going to expect in the next life? Verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So a steward, again, the idea is a manager of a household or a state. It means to arrange. And how we view our money determines how we use it. Do we view it as it's our money, or do we view it as the Lord's money to use? One of the principles, this is the first one. We've got to remember we are a steward, not an owner. Another principle, we are not defined by our possessions. In Luke 12, verse 13, then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. What does the world say today? They say our life depends on what we have. Our life depends on all the possessions that we have. But he says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store my crops and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, for this night your soul will be required of you. Then who will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Friends, life does not consist of the things that we own. It's not defined by our possessions. Ecclesiastes in chapter 2, it says life is basically saying life is not about what you have, but what you are. And we need to enjoy the blessings that come from our labor. We need to be responsible with them, though. And when you go through and you look at everything that was written, I made my works great. I built myself houses, planted vineyards, made gardens and orchards. I planted all kinds of fruit trees. I acquired all kinds of male and female servants. I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind, and there is no profit under the sun. We see so many people. We know so many people. We may be one of those people that's out chasing the wind, trying to acquire everything that we can. We live in a very selfish society. And, you know, you hear the American dream, or used to be the American dream. You get a house, nice little starter house. You get a bigger one. You keep moving up. You get that really nice house. You get another house, a second house, you get a vacation house, but you want a nice big house, then you know you've arrived. And I can give you a little bit of real estate advice. And I've seen some really nice houses. I've been fortunate enough to be inside of some of them. You can take a mansion that costs millions and millions of dollars, and you can take a trailer in a trailer park, and there's nothing wrong with living in a trailer in a trailer park. You can take both of those pieces of real estate, and their value is going to be equal. It's going to be equal on the day of judgment, because it's all going to be burned up. And what is all of our chasing after the wind going to be for? If we've been chasing after the wind and instead of serving God, we're going to lose our soul. Proverbs 21, 5 and 6, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. Getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. There's a lot of proverbs about money and how to get it and how not to. Another money principle, we need to live within our means. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, it's certain we can carry nothing out, but having food and clothing with these we shall be content. And every commercial you watch, every advertisement you watch, you see, is trying to make you discontent. They're trying to tell you, you need that new car, you need these new clothes, you need this, you need that. They are doing just the opposite of what we read in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. We need, having food and clothing with these, we need to be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. It's interesting, the phrases that's used here, talking about this desire to get rich. It's a snare. It's a trap. There's many foolish and harmful lusts. Drown men in destruction and perdition. You hear about people drowning in debt. This is the perfect illustration here. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So you think about this. We need to be content. We need to live within our means. And society goes against this. And what did we talk about this morning? Thanksgiving, being thankful for everything that we have. And we are so richly blessed. We need to spend our time thanking God for what He's given us instead of wanting more and more and more. Philippians 4, 11, beginning, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, again, as we talked about thankfulness and being content, it's not something that you wake up in the morning with contentment. It's something that you learn. Did Paul have a lot? At one time he did. He says, I know how to abound. He knew how to have a lot. And he says, I know how to be abased. He knew how to live with little. And how was he able to do that? Because he had that stewardship mentality, not an owner mentality, that God was going to provide everything for us. Whatever we need, God owns it. We're His children. Why wouldn't He give us what we need? And if we're focused, if we are focused on the things of this world, trying to acquire the things of this world, if we're focused on that, then we are going to be distracted from serving God. Another principle, we need to give to God first. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. And here it doesn't just say honor the Lord on the first day of the week, but with our possessions. The house that we have, do we use it for the Lord's glory? Our cars to take people places or pick them up. God has given them to us. They aren't ours. They're ours to use as a tool and a test. 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. When we were talking about the owner and stewardship mentality last week, again, we do that proportionately, consistently, regularly, and it will grow, and the funds that we take will do the Lord's work. And one of the lessons I want us to look at is going to be investing in the Lord's work, because whatever we invest in the stock market, we have no idea what's going to happen. We could lose everything that we put in. Every cent that we invest in the Lord's work, whether it's in the contribution or in other ways, every cent that we invest in the Lord's work, we are going to get eternal gains. Eternal. No financial advisor can guarantee you anything like that. Even what they do guarantee, they can say, we make no guarantees about this. Our work in the Lord is not in vain. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So why do we give? Somebody will say, well, we're commanded to do that. Well, we're commanded to do it, but if we don't do it with the right heart, God isn't going to be pleased. Because again, God does not need us to raise money for him. God does not need us to raise money for him. God is trying to raise children. And when we learn to give what we think is ours back to God, he is teaching us to be less selfish, to be more caring, to be more concerned about the kingdom. And we need to look at that differently. Another principle, we need to pay our taxes. Romans 13:7. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. In Matthew 17:24, when they came to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? He said, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened it, then take the money. And so all of these principles that we're looking at on stewardship, it's nothing new. They're very plain, basic, simple principles. But how many people do you know in the world that have money problems because they don't understand these principles or they go against these principles? Do we like paying our taxes? I don't like paying them. I don't like paying them, but we are to pay them. When we pay the taxes, what are they going to do? Some of their money, they're going to use it for good. Some, they're going to use it for evil. A lot of money they're going to waste and line their pockets with. They're going to do that today. Do you think it was any different back in the first century? Wouldn't have been any different then. We still pay our taxes. And again, God is teaching us something. We may never figure out some of the lessons that he's trying to get us to learn, but we are to, one of our money principles, we are to pay our taxes. We are to pay our debts. Romans 13:8, owe no one anything except to love another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. So when we pay our debts, we got to be careful about what debts we accumulate. And we do not want to obligate ourselves for more than we can afford. Proverbs 22:16 and 27. Do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debts, if you have nothing with which to pay. Why should he take away your bed from under you? So is it wrong to borrow money? No, I don't believe it's wrong to borrow money. It is wrong to borrow more than you can repay. That is being in debt. If you have installment payments and you make your payments, you're paying what you owe. But if you get in over your head and you obligate yourself for more than you can afford, that's, you're going against what God tells us to do. We don't want to sign to co-sign for somebody. We don't want to be surety for a loan. That's another principle. Sometimes I've seen where that works. I've seen more times where that does not work. And you stop and think, if this person hasn't proven themselves to use money wisely, why do they have somebody sign for this person? Because they expect this person to default on the loan. Again, simple things, but so many people ignore what the Bible says. We were with an attorney one time, and he was telling us about someone that came into his office, and the woman was wanting to file bankruptcy. And he said, okay, he said, first we got to list all your assets. And they went down and listed all the assets, and he said, is that everything you have? And she said, he said, do you have any other bank accounts or anything? And she said, well, I've got this other account that has $10,000 in there. And he said, well, we've got to list that on here too. Oh, no, that's my money. He said, where did you get it? Well, and it was from different types of government payments that she had put in there, hadn't touched them. And he said, if you're going to file bankruptcy, we have to list all your assets. No, that's my money. And he said, I don't think I'm the attorney that can help you with that. And we've got to understand, because what she wanted to do, she wanted to just get rid of all of her debt, still have money. She had obligated herself more than she could afford to repay. And again, that goes against the principle of pay our debts. So not only do we pay our taxes, we pay our debts. Are we going to have any money left after we do that? Well, one of the other principles is that we are to be generous to others. Proverbs 11:24 through 28. There is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. So what's he saying? You put out there and you're going to be taken care of. God's going to take care of you. Verse 26, the people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessings will be on the head of him who sells it. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. So again, when we have the mindset, this is my money, I worked for it, I earned it, it's mine, we're just ready to fall. We're ready to fall. We're trusting in our riches. We aren't trusting in God. Acts 20 and verse 35, I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So we give taxes to the government, we pay our debts, we give to God, and we give to others. Don't we get any for ourselves? Well, it's all God's. It's all God's, and he's told us to do all of this. In Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who have the household of faith. So there are passages that deal, and we'll get into that, looking at the Lord's treasury in one lesson and the pattern for that, how we can help the needy, but that is qualified, and the treasury should not be burdened. It should not be spent for everything, but we have an obligation as a individual to help others. And since we've been starting in 1 John on Wednesday evening, I want us to look at a passage in 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. Again, the book of John, there are so many themes in here. The assurance, knowing, love, three terms that are used over and over. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and see his brother in need and shuts his heart up from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. By this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. So whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Again, money is a test. It's a test. It's not our money. It's God's money. You say, well, there are people out in the world. There are agencies. There are things in place to take care of them. That's true. And we are one of those agencies. We are one of those things that on an individual basis, we can help somebody. Well, how are we able to come up with money for all of these different things that we're supposed to do? Again, that goes back to the stewardship principles. We've got to be a wise steward. If we waste money, we aren't wasting our money. We're wasting God's money. We will answer to God for how we use our money. Back to 1 Timothy 6:10, we shouldn't be greedy. We shouldn't be greedy. We shouldn't be covetous. We will give an answer for how we use God's money. Don't be covetous. Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, again, thinking of the investment, if we have money invested in the stock market, we want to spend time looking and seeing how is it doing? Is it going up? Is it going down? Has it disappeared? What's going on? How much time do we have invested in the Lord's work? Those things that are going to be eternal. Do we spend as much time looking at those eternal investments as we do on those physical investments? 1 Peter 2:1, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is it wrong to have things? No, it's not wrong. It's not wrong to have things at all. It's wrong to have things if we go into debt and we aren't able to pay for those things. It's wrong to have things if we are covetous or envious and not content with what we have. Because again, God owns it all. So again, back to Luke 16:11. If we've not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, in money, if we haven't been faithful in money that belongs to God, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So we're using money to talk about a greater tool. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, talking about God, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's real simple. If you're in love with money, you ain't going to be in love with God. Luke 12:15, he said to them, "Take heed, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." These physical possessions are just temporary. We do have one of the greatest possessions there is, though. That's our soul. What shall a man give in exchange for the whole? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Our soul is worth more than the whole world. It's invaluable. How do we know what the value is of our soul? We look at the price to redeem our soul, to buy our soul. And what was that price? What was that cost? It was the blood of the Son of God. That makes us invaluable. Friends, we don't want to lose our soul by being sidetracked and distracted with things of the world and not using money as God has taught us how to use it. Friends, if there's anybody here this evening that needs to make correction in your life, you aren't a Christian, and you've decided now is the time to become one, or if you're struggling with sin in your life and you need to confess and ask for prayers, if we can assist anyone, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.